word which defines Yom Kippur. And that the word is tshuva. That's the leitmotif, right? The machzor of Yom Kippur in Rosh Hashanah. We have to search; can barely find the word tshuva. Novinu Malkeinu Achzreinu was tshuva shleima. Tshuva tefillah tzedakah avir nesroya gzera. That's about it. In Yom Kippur, every line. Slicha, mechila, kapara, tshuva. The centerpiece of the tefillahs on Yom Kippur is the 10 times that we do vidui, without any doubt. The essence of Yom Kippur is midas harachman. Rosh Hashanah is midas adin, and Yom Kippur is midas harachman. In midas harachman, we could find slicha or kapara. The truth is, there's a very famous question. I don't take it as a kasha per se, but it's an interesting point. It's attributed to Rabbi Yisrael of Salant, that he said, if I would have made the Jewish calendar, I would say, I would have made Yom Kippur first. Before Yom Adin, first the Bishi Slicha V'Kapor, he cleaned up it. Then go to Yom Adin. Says to me, it seems backwards that first you should have Yom Adin and then you should have the Yom Slicha and Kapor. So, he gave a Musadika answer to it, but I think perhaps we could look at another answer to it. He gave a Musadika answer, and he said the problem is that we managed to sleep through Elul. We do that pretty well. He said, if Yom Kippur came at the end of it, so we wouldn't be prepared for Yom Kippur either. He says, the problem is that now there's Yom Adin as on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So now the situation becomes critical. And we hope for Yom Kippurim to ameliorate any negatives that took place in the din of Rosh Hashanah. He says, so our attention is finally focused. That was Rabbi Yisrael's point. But I think there's another point. If we understand the history of Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shaila Machlekes, the Ramban and Rashi, how many times he ascended Har Sinai. Right? He went up in Shavuos time for the Kabbalah Satorah, exact Shaila Netanayim, what day he went up, fine. And did he go, and he went up again Rosh Chodesh Elul? Did he go up in the middle 40 days? That's a Machlekes Rashi and the Ramban and Chumash. I'll call upon him. Even if he went up in the middle 40 days, it was some form of a plea bargain. Meaning, he did not get kaparo, but the Rabbeinu Shalom was not going to punish them right now either. It was sort of mitla tali v'koi. Things were hanging in the, you know, balance. And then the Moshe Rabbeinu goes back again to Har Sinai from Rosh Chodesh Elul. He pleads the case of Klal Yisrael. And finally, on Yom Kippur, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvorecho. So really what we find is the following, that Yom Kippur came after a period of Midas Adin, one of the greatest periods of Midas Adin in the history of Klal Yisrael, was after the Chet HaEgel, that the Charon Af was such, Shuv Mecharon Apecha. The revolution wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. One of the greatest periods of Midas Adin that ever existed. And after that came, its culmination was, and Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kivorach would be the Sarachman. So you're talking that that's the pattern that we have. In other words, Yom Kippur is that from the midst of Din, we can achieve Rachman. And that's just as Moshe Rabbeinu did when he went up the Rosh Chodesh Elul to Har Sinai. He finally brought forth the Midas Sarachman and ameliorated the Din. So we have the same cycle. Start with Midas Adin, and then we ameliorate the Din on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is Midas Harachamim. And that's the Yisoid I think it's the Ramban that says it, that the Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. It's Din which is mitigated by Rachamim. Yom Kippur is Midas HaRachamim. It's the Rachamim is lessened by Din. It's a Yom of Din. It's still a Din of Yom of Din. Din doesn't go away. But it's a day which is rooted in Midas HaRachamim. That's the reason on that day we can have Vidui. Vidui must be attached to Midas HaRachamim. If Vidui Chalila is attached to Midas HaDin, we're in big trouble. As I mentioned other times, the Dubna Magid says, Vidui is a double-edged sword. It can be, the confession can be held against you, and confession can be a sign of contrition, and it can ameliorate what you've done. Which way it's taken depends. And Midas HaDin, it's very likely to be taken as you are guilty. You yourself say you're guilty, so what do you want? On the other hand, from the standpoint of Midas HaRachamim, it can be taken as a sign of contrition. And you're worthy that you should have chanina, that the Rabbanu Shalom should give us mat mischikam. So, on Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk about vidui. After Rosh Hashanah, then we start to get involved in issues of vidui until the culmination is on Yom Kippur. So, now, Yom Kippur itself, as I said, I think that the defining word of it is rachamim. But the din exists. We can't ignore the din. But the ability to draw close to the Rabbeinu Shalom on the day of Yom Kippur is unique. And my dear Shu Hashem b'himotzo k'ru b'yisakov, it's a time that the Eibush is yisakov. And that's Yom Kippur. Which means, when the Yonah wrote that the siyata d'shmaya of a person comes to do tshuva, and let's say the tshuva is beyond my ability, so there's a siyata d'shmaya which can carry us to that too. Yom Kippur, it's very accessible. Siyata d'shmaya. Kilo yachpot v'mos harish v'mos hameitzkiyem b'shuva midarko v'choya. The Rebbe Shem wants us to do tshuva. He wants to assist us in doing tshuva. So that is the basis. That's the very basis of what Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is built on this fact. Now, we need to have certain types of focus on Yom Kippur. And we need a little bit to plan before we come to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is too short a day to do all the planning just on Yom Kippur itself. You know, we need to know what we want to accomplish in Tshuva. You know, it would be nice, you know, if after Yom Kippur I'd be the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah. Nice thing. Who would complain? But it's not too likely to happen. It's the Marsha, it's very interesting. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya. Right? He was a person that had a very checkered history of immorality, and then he ran off to the mountains and he cried and cried and cried, and Yotzan Ishmoso, and it is that the Gemara said that he was kind of Olam B'Sha'achas, a phenomenal thing. But the Marsha says not so phenomenal. It's important that a person could be kind of Olam B'Sha'achas, but far better the person that's kind of Olam in a lifetime. In the lifetime of that he can get himself into Gan Eden. But he's not going to have the Gan Eden of the person that worked at it for 50 years to get himself there. That not. So we can do things, remarkable things, in very short periods of time. But nevertheless, they're limited. So we need to know before Yom Kippur what we want, what we wish to accomplish on Yom Kippur. And so we need to define for ourselves, for each one of ourselves, there's no pat answer, a few things that we could be a little bit better in the coming year. A few things. And in Yom Kippur, that's what we should devote ourselves to, principally. Yeah, good. So there's a general statements and whatever, a broad thrust of tshuva and awareness. But the reality is we need to take a few things and to push them to the hilt. And it's interesting, the Rambam writes, he talks about the things that a Baal Tshuva has to do. First he talks about what tshuva is. Then the Rambam tells us in Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, Midarkei HaTshuva, the things that you have to do together with tshuva, in other words, to make tshuva actually work, good. You want to do tshuva. What has to accompany it? So number one is Liyos HaShav Tzoyek Tomo Lifnei Hashem Avechi V'sachnu. A person should call out to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, even since crying and pleading. It's interesting, some say that the person that davens with sincere kavana is the equivalent of bechiya. Not every person cries. Different personalities are different. There are people that cry readily, and there are people that the world could burn down and they don't cry. That's their personality. I mean, Rabbi Shehalbishtam Zatzal, described, you know, a Rav in Yerushalayim. He said he was tough as nails. He says, you know, you couldn't make him emotional. You couldn't make him emotional. He says, but one day I succeeded, even with him. So I told him a medrash that Yirmiyahu knew Nebuzaradan, and he realized that this was the critical day for the survival of the Beis HaMikdash. And he raced back to Yerushalayim from where he was, and he wanted to convince him not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And as he approached the outskirts of Yerushalayim, he saw the Mikdash going up in flames, that it was too late. This medrash, he told this Rishalmi, a very big Rishalmi, he says, this brought him to tears. But other than that, different people are different. But it's the sincerity of tefillah. Tefillah is the realization that we're dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And for tshuva, we're certainly dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Because without the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, tshuva is an impossibility. Why should a person think that he's going to be able to change? You know, we're so rooted in what we are, how are we conceivably going to change? You know, in life, we have some things that each one of us naturally just does right. You know, from the time we're young children, certain things, whatever, we gravitate to, we do them the right way, and we're just on a roll the whole life. And there's some things that we just don't get right. And a person goes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and it's all the same. The way it was, that's the way it is. Nothing changes. And the Alter of Slobodka said, I've seen many people improve, but almost no one's changed. So why should we believe we could do tshuva? You know, I have a few old, very, very old friends from my high school days. So little by little, I'm, you know, finding them in the world. So there were three of us that were very, very close. And what's remarkable is that each one, the personality that we had at 16, that's what we are at 50 years later. You know, one is a Raman Tifrach. One is a professor in Tel Aviv University, and I'm the third one. And each one of us is relatively, the personality that we had, 15, 16, the basic things, how we approach the world, that's the way we are. So why should a person believe that he's going to succeed in Tshuva? The only answer is that a person knows that he can access Yad Dishmaya. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is not limited. So if I have to access Siyat Dishmaya, am I going to access Siyat Dishmaya? We must follow the Rebbeinu Shalom. So good. We have to take a tentative step towards Tshuva. But what's going to make it succeed? If I connect with the Rebbeinu Shalom. So it's one of the things we have to do. We must follow. Without Siyat Dishmaya, we're sunk in this world. The second thing the Rambam says, V'oisit stoku kifi koichoi. Should be Isaac in Tztokos, meaning the schus of doing Tztokos, the Rebbeinu Shalom will be Meracham on us and help us. Right? Chazal say that called the Meracham on Abrius is Meracham on Olav Min HaShamayim, a person that's Rachamim on people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rachamim on him. So I need Siyata Dishmaya, Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm in desperate shape. I want to fix this particular thing. And listen, Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm around long enough to be a cynic already. You know, it's like the guy says, stopping smoking, what's so hard about it? I've done it 100 times already. So Rebbeinu Shalom, the things that I do wrong, what's so hard about them with Tshuva? I did Tshuva 50 times already for them. Reb Chaim Tanzer described someone that every day he had the wherewithal to get up and ignore what happened yesterday. He didn't succeed in Tshuva. He'll get up today as if today's the first day that he's at it. And keep undeterred by what came before. I failed. Tomorrow I get up. So today's a new day. I could succeed today. So we need Oysit Stoch Kifi Koichai. So from that, it's Kifi Koichai. Hashem doesn't ask me to build a building for the yeshiva. Yeah, if I have, you know, $500 million to my name, so he asked me to build a building for the yeshiva. You know, if I'm a regular guy, do my share. That's all, but do my share. Do my share to help the aniyim. Do my share, that's what I have to do. Kifi koicha, the Rambam says. And we come to something very important. Misrachik harbi min adobo shechotobo. And this needs really a lot of thought before Yom Kippur and even Yom Kippur to commit ourselves to this. It means, let's start from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes in Mishlei that all the gzeiros, all the takonas that were necessary for all of Klal Yisrael, Chazal made all of them already. There are no takonas that need to be made that are necessary for all of Klal Yisrael. For all time, in particular, Doris, maybe this door needs this door needs this, that's to the Gdolim of that door to do. But that there should be permanent features of Klal Yisrael for all generations, all time, in all places, Chazal took care of that already. But the Gros says, each one of us has to legislate for ourselves. Each one of us has to know where I'm weak and what I need to stay away from the things that bring me down. Tell people all the time. I had an uncle, Olav HaShalom, my mother's oldest brother, was from the first B'nai Torah in the United States. He entered Yeshiva Gedoyla here in 1933. My mama, really, literally from the first B'nai Torah in the United States. My uncle was a prince. No one ever saw him upset in his life. Not that he was quite aware, he was a Balregish, he was a public figure, he was a principal of a school forever. No one ever saw him upset. My aunt Olea HaShalom said about him, I was married to him for 62 years, he said he never said a harsh word to me. My mother Olea HaShalom in his youth, he was like that already. Unflappable under the most trying of circumstances. So a person like that, listen, You know, he was careful what he got himself involved in and what he didn't get involved in. But Eich Shehiyah, no matter what circumstances were going around on around him, you were not going to get him upset. You know, he could feel something as an avla, and he was not oblivious to avlas. But to react, to lose himself, so a person like that can go and be involved in all types of things and all types of situations. Because, you know, listen, he's not getting angry. It's not going to happen. No one's seen him get angry. No one will see him get angry. He didn't get angry. So he doesn't need, you know, all the factors in his benefit to avoid kas that other people. Most of us, we have to know the situations which are inflammatory, the situations are incendiary. And we have to figure out how to stay away from those situations, because we know if we get near those situations, you know, or even avoid whoever's around. You know, we take out the automatic and just pull the trigger and I went out. No mercy. So when I do tshuva for that, so I have to think, you know, I know what I could do. I know what I'm capable of doing. So I know what I have to stay away from. So each person has to be misrachik harbi. A person that's drunk, for example, in the world. So we know, so Alcoholics Anonymous teaches us that he has to stay away from whiskey. Because why? Because something in his constitution, he doesn't understand the limits properly, and once he gets started, he doesn't has no idea where he should draw the line. So if he's going to go near a bottle of whiskey, or he's going to hang out with three guys that are drinking, they're going to scrape him off the floor drunk. So if he wants to avoid that, so he can't go to such a place. A normal person could go there. Nothing's going to happen to him. A person that has a weakness with gambling, so he has to know. He has to stay a half a mile away from a gambling den. I mean, if I walked into a gambling den, I'd just laugh at the fools that are playing there and I'd go out. There's no way in the world. It has no, means nothing to me. Wouldn't tempt me in the least. Each person has to know himself. So this we need to give thought before Yom Kippur to. Decide what I want to succeed at. And then I have to decide how I'm going to succeed. And usually that means, to succeed means to change the game plan. You know, if I'm going to keep doing things the way I've been doing them, so there's a reason where I'm at. They don't go. You know, I throw my curveball a certain way, and they hit it out of the ballpark 40 times this year. So I better go back to the pitching coach and find a new way to throw the curveball. I'm going to come up next season and throw the curveball again. They're also going to smack him out of the park. So we need to understand where we haven't succeeded in life, there's a reason. We're sincere people. Why haven't we succeeded? Because the methodology has been wrong, by definition. So that's what the Rambam does, is Misrach HaKarba. I need to conceive a new methodology, one that's more likely to succeed, one that brings me closer to the positives and further away from the negatives. But that needs thought before, and now I'm going to do it. And just to say I'm going to do it and get up, and I'll go do everything that I did as I did for the last years. Of course I'm not going to succeed. There's a reason I didn't succeed until now. So this is very, very important in terms of what Yom Kippur is. U'mishana shmai. Now, the Rambam does not mean a mystical thing. We have Shinoi Hashem, we have it in a mystical sense. That Chayla, maybe the Gzeira was on him with this name. If we change his name, maybe he slips out of the Gzeira. It's a possibility. But here I think there's a practical Shani Achar, Ba'ini Oiso Isha, Oso Isa Namaisa. But it doesn't, Rambam means he doesn't have to change his name per se. But he has to change his self-perception. If I know myself, you know, it's easy. The world, we can fool the world. The world is very easy to fool. But ourselves, we can't fool so well because we know the truth. So that's one of the biggest things that holds us back from accomplishing tshuva. Because, listen, you know, I know what I've done. I know what, whatever. Tomorrow I'm going to be a holy Yid. I'm going to be holy tomorrow. You know, yesterday you were running with the guys doing who knows what in the street. And today you're going to be a holy Jew. So we're cynics about ourselves. And we say, listen, I know, listen, how could I be me? So that's Shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem, I don't think the Rambam means that it's an actual Shinui. Kloma doesn't mean actually, but I have to conceive of myself Shinui Acha. I'm not the same person that did the things that I shouldn't have done. Now that I've decided to be Oyber Hashem in a different fashion, I'm a different person. And I'm not limited by what I did in the past. You know, the realization, Rabbi Yonah also talks about this, that he says the first thing we have to do for tshuva is to unburden ourselves of achaton. Halavai would be so easy. Halavai, the popular version of tashlich would be true. You know, go to the river, throw your chaton, and, you know. If it would work, I'd go a few times a year. You know, I only necessarily make tshuva. But what the Rabbeinu Yonah means is that I have to realize I'm not held back. And that could be, probably is the point of Tashlich too. I'm not held back what was in the past. Despite the fact that it was in the past, I can connect it to Rabbeinu Shalom. So that's a very, very important step. The belief that the Rabbeinu Shalom stands ready to accept us, no matter what we've done, makes no difference. Why? Because bonim atem l'Hashem alakeichem. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says, a son that's estranged from his father. A normal father wants to get back together with the son. So if the son comes and wants to repair the situation that's taken place, so the father is more than glad to accept him. So the belief that we can connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom, whatever has taken place until now, makes no difference whatsoever. We can access the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom will accept us. So this is also part of the mindset that we have to bring to tshuva. This is a very important mindset to have on Yom Kippur. If we believe that we can succeed, if I believe I can connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom, then I have the possibility of connecting. If I don't believe, I have no possibility of connecting. Rav Moshe Chait, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim in Yerushalayim. So he grew up in Philadelphia. So he goes to the zoo in Philadelphia. And he looks, he's looking at the lion in the cage. And he asked the zookeeper, tell me, can this lion get out of the cage? Is he strong enough to knock it over or to jump over the top? So the zookeeper tells him, I'll tell you, in reality, the lion can get out of this cage. But it's designed in such a fashion that he thinks he can't get out. And because he thinks he can't get out, he cannot get out. Whatever we think we can do, we can't do it. So we need the first thing, the first step is to realize, no, whatever was, nothing limits me in going forward. I can go forward. And then he writes something else, which over the Doris has been fulfilled in many different ways. He says, "V'goyle mimekoymai." He should go into Golus from where he lives now. In earlier times, I can speak, I don't know what went on in the Sephardish world. Among Eastern European Doilim, it was common Litvisha and Chassidisha went into Golus. The Grover went into Golus for a while. What was the reason? The Rambam says, Shagolus mechaperes ovon, they should gorom lelikonav, lios ono v'shvar ruach. One of the most important steps in tshuva is to be humble. Right. I've mentioned before, the Sefer HaChinuch says when a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the majesty of the Beis HaMikdash is such, we sit in such awe of it, that it humbles us. It becomes easy to do tshuva. So Golus is one thing that a person can do, but Golus comes in very, very different fashions. Golus mechaperes oven, so good of a gedolei yodim that wander around from place to place. But the tachlis here is, in later times, listen, our forebears all were woven in Golus. They all came from Europe to this country. That was certainly a Golus, you know. My grandfathers came here, they didn't speak the language, they didn't know the culture. There was just, you know, the whole place was strange to them. You know, they came in midlife. That was also Golus. And Baruch Hashem, that type of Golus we don't know. And the Golus that have only gone, none of us are up to doing. So we're punted from that too. But the Yisai, that Shogaremus l'Likona v'Lios Ona v'Shval Ruach, that we should strive to be humble before the Rabbeinu Shalom, the bottom line of what a Golus is out to achieve, that we're able to do. That we're able to do. And that's where the truth is, we should be aware of what we, the things that we have done or haven't done in this world, have done that we shouldn't have done, or haven't done that we should have done. That's enough reason that we should be humble. Not to be fixated upon it, that I can't act, I'm paralyzed, but it's enough to be humble. If I know that there are things that I haven't achieved yet in life, and I'm painfully aware of it, so that should be humbling. Should be humbling. If we're humble before the Rabbeinu Shalom, then it's a lot easier to do that which the Rabbeinu Shalom wants of us. So these are aspects of tshuva that the Rambam tells us. Bidarkei tshuva. It is also, the Rambam, I think, goes out of his way to underline how potent the force tshuva is. One of my very interesting auras in the Rambam is the fifth and the sixth parak of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam dedicates to a discussion of Bechira. Now, what in the world is this discussion doing in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva? I have two questions about it. Number one, if you doubt that this Bechira, then you can't begin this, you can't do Tshuva. And number two, there's nothing to do Tshuva for. So, if you want, tell me, you think I often notice such a thing as Bechira, to do tshuva, so write it at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. But I would even suggest something more daring than that. And I don't think the place to write it would be in Yisodei HaTorah. Because without that, what's the whole Torah? There's no Bechira. So what about a mitzvah? What's it all about? So there has to be Bechira. So tell me, if that's such an important klal, so write in the beginning of the Yad, in the beginning when you talk about, we have obligations to the Rabbeinu Shalom, so the first thing you should write in the Yad, man was created with Bechira. All of a sudden, in the middle of halfway through Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, oh, by the way, Rishus Kolodim, the Sun alone, Rotsa Lahat, the Satsvul Derech Toivam, the Yosadik, it's fine, Rotsa Lahat, the Satsvul Derech Ro, it's a Rishus Biyada, and the Rambam goes on for two prokhim, discusses it. What in the middle? Then all of a sudden, in Perek Shvi, I just spent the last two prokem explaining to you that we have bechira. Yishtadel ha'odom lasas tshuva v'linor kapov mechatov k'day sheyomus v'ubal tshuva k'day sheyizke l'chayon ha'ava. You told me I have to do tshuva at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. Right? That was all the way back at the beginning. Right? It says in the Rambam writes at the beginning. Right at the beginning. And what's his headline for Hilchos Tshuva? After the Tshuva, and I have to be Mizvada. All of a sudden, in Perek Shvi, now the Rambam tells you, oh, I just explained Bechira. And here the Rambam says a strange thing. What do you mean? If it's a chiyuv, and the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to say at the beginning, he said, what do you mean, yishtadel odom? It's a chiyuv to do it. Yishtadel odom means I should endeavor to do it. So I think that the answer lies in Halacha Gimel. Then we'll go back from Halacha Gimel, we'll understand Halacha Aleph in a different way. One may think that tshuva is only from actions that a person has done. Could go on znus, vigezel, gneiva, that I have to stop doing such things. But the Rebbe says, I have to examine within my midas, within my perspectives on life, those that are improper and correct them. And he spells out, menakasim, menaiva, from anger and hatred, jealousy, overly competitive, frivolous, fixated on money and honor, being too big a foodie, these are more difficult to do. Very hard to change. So the Rambam ends, he doesn't only say Maisim, Yazav Rosh Darko, but Yishoban Machshav Yisav, the Derech, the path that he's chosen, what he finds, his attitudes, his midas, that he has to change. And that's what I think that the Rambam means at the beginning. Yishtadol Olam Lasash Tshuva, Lino Kapov Mechatov, it's not only, Lino Kapov Mechatov is not only the Maisim that he's done, meaning the attitudes, what would bring them to these things, that's what the Rambam, we might have thought, that yeah, of course there's Bechira, otherwise there's no such thing as Tshuva. But how far does Bechira go? Maybe it's enough of Mitzvah's Maisias, but who said it's enough to change underlying attitudes and underlying Midas? Who says that's within? So the Rambam says, now that I've explained to you the power of Bechira, is Yishtad Alodom Lasas Tshuva. And that's what the Rambam writes, Yishtad Alodom Lasas Tshuva. Maisim, you can change. I wasn't smoked until now. He decides, listen, this is suicidal, so I'm not going to smoke anymore. So, a Maisim, you can change. A Mida that a person has, that you can't just change on a dime. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, how should one go about changing it? Act in a way which is at an extreme, polar opposite of what I want to change, and act that way for a lengthy period of time. And eventually, my midas within will wind up somewhere at some median point. And then I'll be correct. I won't be radical in either direction. But that's not something, we can't just change it on a dime. Okay, I'm going to change it. Tomorrow I'm the calmest person, not getting angry anymore. If a person, for example, follows the Ramban says that we should speak very softly to every person. And if we speak in very soft and calm tones, that'll cool down the distress which pushes us to anger. So if a person does that for a lengthy period of time, so he'll succeed, he'll become a calmer person. But that's not something we can do on the spot. All is yishtad alodim. It's something we have to work at. Not to steal, something I have to do right now. Just don't do it. I didn't do a mitzvah. Get up and do the mitzvah that I'm supposed to do. But in midas, all we can do is yishtadl. We have to work at it. Little by little by little by little. So here the Rambam already enters another realm. In the first part, the Rambam was talking about Mrs. Maisius. Mrs. Maisius, we understood that is Bechira. But is it to the extent of connecting with my personality? Now, there's a very important aspect to understand here. There's a Yid that I know who lives in Harnof today. The Talmud of the Chazon Ish, the father of a friend of mine, man in his 80s. So he told me once, he said, he asked the Chazon Ish a certain thing, why he doesn't get involved in a certain thing. So the Chazon Ish's answer was, it's not consistent with my personality. So he explained to me, the Chazon Ish did not think that personality was infinitely flexible. Different people are made different ways. They're very, you know, energetic, dynamic, public profile people. And then there are people that don't have that profile. It's not for them. The whole sphere is not for them, and everything that comes with it, they can't operate in that sphere. He said, those things that are a chiyuv, he said, the Torah didn't ask us, you know, I'm not that type of guy. I have to do it. There are things which are not clearly chiyuvim. If your the shoe fits and it fits for you, so go do it. If the shoe doesn't fit for you, so don't go do it. You know, there's a guy, he's a go-getter, right? He owns five, he has five businesses, and, you know, and 600 employees, 1,000 employees working for him. So he knows how to organize something from scratch and get it going. You know, and all the things that you have to do such a thing. So now we have to make a yeshiva in this town. So listen, this is the guy we call it. So listen, if you put up five businesses already and you know and they're running smoothly, you have 1,000 people working for you, now to start an organization and to make it fly. You're going to call a guy that never did anything more than work in some low-level position, you know, with someone else his whole life, and tell him, okay, go make it fly. What are you talking about? Yeah, of course I have to make yeshiva, whatever, but what does that have to do with me? It's not my business, you know? You have the yeshiva, I'll give you a few bucks that I have to help you out, but don't come to me. So that's dependent on a person's personality. One person that's his big, another person is not as big. As I saw someone recently, said there were two people that he would describe, and they were polar opposites of each other in many regards. He says, I knew the Chazon Ish, and I knew the Ish Chazon, the man of vision, the Ponovitcherov. The Chazon Ish was the ultimate private person. Right? He has lived his life locked away in a room, you know, and did not mix. I don't think he never gave a speech in his life. I think, never spoke to him, never gave a speech in his life. And he showed the what one person who's great can accomplish for Klal Yisrael from his little room. The Ponovitcherov was the a public person of the First Order, a phenomenal speaker, a phenomenal organizer, a visionary, churned out Moistus, huge Moistus. It's a different personality, a different person. He went about what he had to do in his way, and the Chazon Ish went about what he had to do in his way. Both of them did great things for Klal Yisrael, but from very, very different perspectives. So that's, you know, we need to understand. A person can't be someone else. The question is, how much can we be ourselves? In other words, that everything about us should operate properly. No, I can't. I'm not the next person. I can't be the next person. It's not my job in this world to be the next person. But to be myself. You know, there's a famous word of the Rebbe of Kotsk. Only the Rebbe of Kotsk could say this. A chassid traveled across more from one end of Poland to the other, and he arrives in Kotsk. So he comes to visit the Kotsk Rebbe. So the Kotsk Rebbe says to him, he says, tell me, what did you come here for at Kotsk? So he says, why did I come to Kotsk? If I came to find the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Kotsk Rebbe says, you came to find the Rabbeinu Shalom? You wasted your time. You could have stayed home and found the Rabbeinu Shalom. Well, you didn't need to come to Kotsk for that. So rather taken aback, this hapless chassid says to the Rebbe, so if that's the case, why does anybody come to Kotsk to the Rebbe? So the Rebbe says, you come to Kotsk to find yourself. That's what you come here for. The Rabbeinu Shalom, you find wherever you are. But understand that to find yourself, that's what you come to Kotsk for. And that's the tachlis. The tachlis is to find ourselves, not to be someone else. To be ourselves. And that's the essence of Yom HaNaron. essence of Yom Narom is to realize that if we're focused, we can actually make some steps forward. And I tell everyone in this room, and maybe we need a little bit of longer time frame. You know, my Talmidim, I used to tell, you think you don't grow? Compare yourselves to 3 years ago. You're in 10th grade. Compare yourself to when you were in 7th grade. Are you the same or different? Different, and different in a good way. See, at our stage in life, the changes are not so dramatic. But if we ask ourselves, am I the same as I was 10 years ago? Have I accomplished some things in the last 10 years that I didn't accomplish before? And inevitably the answer is yes. Have I accomplished everything that I want to do? No. Also not. And that's a very fortunate thing. That's a very fortunate thing. This has to do with the Rishalmi and Kedushin. It's also a mice of the Kotzka Rebbe, but it's based on a Rishalmi and Kedushin. The Abnei Nezer grew very, very ill as a young man. He ultimately lived a very long life, but he grew very, very ill. And the doctors despaired of saving him. No way to save him. So they ran to the Kotzka Rebbe, and they asked him to be mispala for Abnei Nezer. And they said, the Kotzka, he's a goy, a tzaddik, a Yerushamayim. And the Kotzka's response was, not such a big goy, not such a big tzaddik, not such a big Yerushamayim, but I'll be mispala for him. So they left, and a while went by, and Abnei Nezer recovered, and he lived a very long life. So they went back to the Kotzka Rebbe to thank him. So they said, but we don't understand. Why was the Rebbe's reaction not such a big goy, not such a big tzaddik, not such a big Yerushamayim? So the Kotzka said, I was concerned. I asked myself, from my estimation, he's a big goy and a big tzaddik and a big Yerushamayim. So what are they trying to schlep into the Shemayim for? So perhaps in Shemayim they decided that in his short years he fulfilled everything that they sent him to this world for. So I realized there's only one way to save him. I gave a psak that is not a big enough goy, it's not a big enough tzaddik, it's not a big enough Yerushalayim. It's based on a Rishalmi and Kedushin. And Mamela, the Bezin Shalmai, lest the pasken like the Bezin Shalmata. And I succeeded. So it's Baruch Hashem that we didn't accomplish everything we wanted to accomplish yet. That wouldn't be too good for us if we did. And the Goyin spells it out in Mishlei. The Goyin says the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us a new lease on life. For what reason? Solely to accomplish that which we failed to accomplish until now. That's it. If we accomplished it all, then we're out of here. Right? That's the famous Medrash at the end of Melochim. Navos HaYisraeli. So Navos HaYisraeli had the misfortune there to live in, next to Achav and Izebel. And they decided they want his land. So they came and they made some excuse and they killed him and they took his land away from him. So the Yerushalmi, the Medrash says, why did Navos die? Why didn't Shemayim did they give such a psak? And it's a piece in the Medrash that says, Kabed as Hashem Yehincha, means whatever you have, whatever skill, if it's money, if it's a skill, it's Kabed as Hashem Yehincha, you can see, whatever you have, whatever talent you have, resource you have, use it for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Navos HaYisraeli was the health god of his time. We came to the Sholosh Regolim, we came to Yerushalayim, he was the Chazan. This was, you know, Tvilis of a different realm. And Navos decided, listen, it's time to hang up my boots. I was enough years Chazan already, it's time for somebody else to take over. So that's it, he retired. And that's, Achav came and killed him. That's what the Medrash says. I have a very simple kasha. Let's say he was wrong to retire. So what was his avla? What did he do? I mean, to daven and make people have an inspiring tefillah. That's a gemilas chesed. He did a gemilas chesed. So we have a new Torah now, right? The person that doesn't do gemilas chesed is chayav misa. I don't know. It says, "Chalalei mois yumos, going to vishu mechoro, makiish v'meis mois yumos." But I didn't see anywhere in the Torah that if you fail to do a gemilas chesed, that you get misa. So what's the pshat in this medrash? So I said, the pshat in this medrash is something. This was not an oynish. Navas, the Israeli, had a job in this world. His, you know, about every year has to do the mitzvahs, but his particular distinct purpose was to be the chazan, chazan on the Sholosh Regolim in Yerushalayim. But Navas hung up his boots and said, Ad Khan. So that's it. So he finished what he had to do in this world. So he went to Shemayim. So Baruch Hashem, we have what to be busy with. So to embrace the Yom Ha'Ruam is an opportunity. The Rebbeinu Shalom extends himself. Dear Shu Hashem B'Yimotza, we can embrace the Rebbeinu Shalom. We can access Yata Dishmaya. That's what Rabbeinu Yoina writes. Well, this will end. Was there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So Rabbeinu Yoina says a number of reasons. One of the reasons is to celebrate. Why? Because if a person violated a law during the year, he did tshuva, he doesn't get full kapora until Yom Kippur comes. It's toilet. It's hanging in the balance until Yom Kippur comes. So now finally it's Erev Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is about to come, and I'm going to get kapora for the things that I messed up last year. So what a simcha. An awesome simcha. Yom Kippur's coming. To say, Chassidus Rebbe once said like this, that he says, we have 2 25-hour fasts, right? Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. He says, the difference between them is the following. He says, on Tisha B'Av, he says, who can eat? And on Yom Kippur, he says, who wants to eat? Today I can be a malach. Why in the world would I want to come back to this world? May the Rebbeinu Shel Olam grant that we experience the full Reimavus and Kedusha of Yom Kippur.